Turkey, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go. It's the second day of May 2016, the first broadcast of May 2016, the beginning of the month, and we have that's four straight months. You guys can pat yourselves on the back. That is four straight months in which you have beaten the Swede. Yes, indeed. See what I did there? Swede, indeed. And all this without a team and a staff of, you know, 16 or 20 riders. Who knew? Yeah. Hi. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you want to jump into the chat room where Anatole and Jug of Punch and Little Gray have already joined in the festivities, all capably moderated by longtime and veteran, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who, being a third-stage guild navigator, has folded space to become Man Cave on what I trust is a lovely mid-spring afternoon there in Northern California. It is Moran Monday. Oh, goody. And don't worry, we got him. Oh, we got them. Yep. And, of course, this is a listener-supported broadcast project. Your kind gifts, because we don't have anything to sell here. We're, you know, sorry, no sweaty prayer cloths or any of those religious hustle kind of things. No, sorry, it's just your kind gifts are what keeps things on the air. Thank you very kindly for getting in there at the first of the month, as ever. Randy, and thanks very kindly for a recent contribution, courtesy of Vernon. Thank you, Vernon. Thank you very much indeed. So, yeah, we try to raise $200. That's 1 at 200, 2 at 100, 4 at 50, 8 at 25, 16 at 12, 50, and 32 at 6 and a quarter, and 64 at $3.13. Because I just round up from the extra half a penny, there from 3.125 to 3.13 because I can.
Lord have mercy, Jethro. Your ciphering's awful good.
Yeah, I tell you what, I've gotten good at ciphering that 200, 150, yeah, right. And thanks to everybody for the kind anniversary wishes to Agnes and me yesterday. 23 years. 23 years.
Oh, how they've flown.
They have flown, dear. They have. And even now, Agnes is bringing me an ice-cold diet ginger ale. Yay. Yum. So there we go. That's pretty much all the housekeeping for the beginning of the program. Well, there's one little bit of housekeeping, a little something you can look forward to. Mark your calendars for Friday, May the 6th. Mm-hmm. Friday, May the 6th, I will be having a conversation with legendary investigative reporter Seymour Hersh. So, and in regard to his new book, The Killing of Osama Bin Laden. Seymour Hersh is, of course, one of the great practitioners of the disappearing art of actual journalism remaining in this country. That's Friday, the May the 6th, at the beginning of the program. Friday on the front porch will proceed apace later in the program, of course. Now, details. For those of you who don't know, and my God, who could that possibly be? The PayPal interface is over at headonradionetwork.com under the tab Contribute. There's some fields to fill out. You can leave blank what it is that you do, you know, where you do it, etc. Just get to the next screen, and that's where it's all PayPal balance, credit cards, blah 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 blah. And of course, if you prefer to use the United States Postal Service, and many of you do, and thank you to those of you who do, send me a note so I can tell Boss Man Wayne to be on the lookout, and he can leave his spider-proof gloves in the truck. But that address for checks and money orders made payable to The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, B-E-C-K-L-E-Y, W-V, 25801, 25801. And we encourage checks and money orders so that cash doesn't get stolen by the Klan. Because, just as a reminder, we share that same UPS store P.O. box location with the Klan, who has a different box. We're 318, they're 181. But if a sorting mistake was ever to be made, then it's possible. You can bet your ass the Klan would steal cash like that, because the Klan are a bunch of no-good terroristic, you know, jackasses. Mm-hmm. 23 years, yes, Carol Baker is saying, Ms. Agnes, you has my sympathy. And she deserves it. 23 years of me? Oh, my God. Yeah. So there we have it. There. We're all done now. Hopefully we'll raise $200. I won't have to say it again. And we'll be done. Okay. So, it is More In Monday, which means that we've got some, we got some stuff to do, and let us waste no further time.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Hurry, step right up, you will not believe your ears. It's More In Monday on the Horn. Here, just a few steps away from the Carnival Midway, you'll find things that you will not believe. Behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas, you will find birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, baggers, birchers, booger eaters, members all of the Toenail Clipping Toothpick Society. That's right, Republicans, Libertarians, Conservatives, every last one of them. Yes, indeed. They're all here for your amazement, your horror, your delectation, your fear, your trembling, your sarcastic, your observations, your laughter. They're all here. You can't tell the morons without a program, and this is the program that tells the morons. You just can't tell them much. For less than 5 cents per hour on a $10 a month contribution subscription. That's right, 5 cents, less than 17 cents per program. Yes, indeed. You can have it all. The more ends, all stripe, all variety. A word to the wise, however, upon entering the More In Monday tent, keep a close hand upon wallets, purses, children, small animals, that goldfish that's in the bowl that you won over throwing the ping pong balls a little bit ago, the occasional, although not many win them, the occasional iguana. Yeah, you wanna hang on tight to those, because the morons, being Republicans and all, can get grabby, abso-damn-lutely. Head for the hills, you'll be up to your armpits in morans. Oh, you will, you will, you will.
And where better? Where better? Than here in West Virginia, my home state, to go in search of some morans. Don't have to search very far. This is, after all, coal country. So, Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton is planning on being here in almost level West by Coal, Virginia, Stan. And toward that end, she had hoped to visit Logan County, among other places. There's some sort of an event planned for Williamson down in what was once called Bloody Mingo County, where began the mine wars of the coal wars of the early 20th century. There's no great big humongous venues for speaking, so it'll probably be the Mingo County High School Gymnasium or something like that. It's not like a lot of people come out to see her. I mean, you don't have to have a stadium to fit 5 or 10 billionaire donors in it, right? Yeah. Well, she was planning on coming to almost level West by Coal, Virginia, Stan. Who knows? Maybe in a rolling coal limousine, just a belching of the black smoke to show her dedication to the hard work, to our hard working miners. Our hard working miners didn't give much of a damn. No. Because see, back a couple of months ago, Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton said she was going to put the coal business out of business. Sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned. She said, we're going to put a whole lot of miners out of work. And folks didn't take too kindly to that. They started calling her Hitlery some more, and Schillery, and all those childish juvenile names. So then, lo and behold, it hit the wires that she wanted to go to Logan County, which is right there close by Mingo County. And, well, let's see what it, there we are. Officials, you know, government and types, got word of her plan to go to Logan County. And it didn't work out well. Twelve News WBOY reporting. After the Clinton campaign staff attempted to use the City of Logan Fire Department facilities for the Clinton upcoming visitations to the area, fire department officials contacted the mayor of Logan about the situation. Remember, this is a More in Monday story. You might want a hockey puck. Logan officials then took matters into their own hands and sent an email to Mike Browning, a representative for Senator Joe Manchin. The email reads as follows. Mac, while we appreciate all that you and Senator Manchin's office have done for the city of Logan over the years, we must make the following statement. Bill and Hillary Clinton are simply not welcome in our town. Ms. Clinton's anti-coal messages are the last thing our suffering town needs at this point. The policies that have been championed by people like Mrs. Clinton have all but devastated our fair town, and honestly, enough is enough. We wish them the best in their campaign. God bless them. No, the God bless them's not in there. I just threw that in for fun. However, we again state that they are not welcome on our city properties. We hope that you will respectfully consider not visiting our community. Please don't hesitate to contact me if you have any questions. I am writing this on behalf of the city of Logan. Logan officials feel that the Clintons will not adequately support the well-being of its voters. No, that really happened. A public building paid for by public monies, and the fiends of coal down there decided she was not sufficiently obsequious to the coal industry, and said, Clinton, don't let the sun set on you here. One wonders if Hillary thinks that Mike Browning, or not Mike Browning, but the author of this, I don't know who the author was, the author of this this email, one wonders if Hillary thinks he might be another one of those men who have gotten off the reservation. Come for the article, stay for the comments. Great job, Logan County. Keep that scum out of your town. Good for you. Stand your ground. Oh, shit, that can get you a visit from the Secret Service. Words mean things. Good for Logan. God help West Virginia if the sorry old bitch would get to be president. Bravo to the people of Logan. I don't know why the entire state doesn't send a letter to the Clintons themselves. That's Clinton's apostrophe, yes, of course. Letting them know they are not welcome. Didn't Hillary call our state that creepy state? How can she even think of coming here? Now, we're not going to go through all this without a little Obama hating.
I stand behind you, says Mary Gaddis Brown. I was a coal miner's daughter, and I feel for you. Obama allowed this to happen, and I to heard Hillary make that statement. That's T.O. She wouldn't put a lot of coal mines. She would put a lot of coal's mines out of business.
Yeah, it goes on and on and on. Alexandra Brown says, all caps,
amen. Keep out the trash. Go Trump.
Good for you, Logan. You have shown that we still have a few real Americans left. Many of my family are Ohio coal miners, and we stand with you.
Probably the wrong accent for Ohio. Betty Jean Henry said, I don't know how the Clintons even have the gall, and we West Virginians know all about gall, to even show their face at West Virginia at all. The policies that have been championed by Hillary Clinton have all but devastated the coal mining in the state. And even if Hillary should be indicted for her email treason, she will be pardoned by Obama. She should be inducted into the Hall of Shame instead of being allowed to run for president of the United States. Judy D. Caudill says, I am a proud West Virginian. I'm from Logan County. Again, proudly, I'd like to ask what sort of energy is this country going to be runs with once coal is completely wiped out? Can anyone answer me that question? And I'm being seriously curious. I have not heard one politician yet give a serious viable alternative. And I'm not a Clinton supporter, mainly because I'm very much afraid that she is going to do more damage than good, not just for West Virginia. I'm also very much afraid that she is going to be our next president. That said, I'm still proud of Logan County for taking a stand for what they truly believe in. Makes me even prouder to be from that beautiful blown-up county. I added the blown-up part because it is. You know, it goes on and on and on and on. Oh, yeah. And of course, this is the clip that so thoroughly and righteously pissed off, all the coal heads here in almost level West by Coal Virginia stand.
Example, I'm the only candidate which has a policy about how to bring economic opportunity using clean, renewable energy as the key into coal country, because we're going to put a lot of coal miners and coal companies out of business. Right, Tim? And we're going to make it clear that we don't want to forget those people. Those people labored in those mines for generations, losing their health, often losing their lives, to turn on our lights and power our factories.
Those people!
I just love being those people. Of course, there's a bit of a complication here. Coal mining doesn't just happen because some scrappy little hardscrabble hillbilly takes his pick and his shovel and starts hacking into a hillside to dig out some energy that was buried there a few million years ago, hundreds of millions. Takes a lot of money to run a coal mine.
Say, who has lots of money? I know, we'll get Wall Street. They'll fund any evil goddamn thing.
Mm-hmm. And so the hedge fund managers who provide money to Hillary Clinton's campaign, the Goldman Sachses of the world, and the investment banks and the international investment banks, they are up to their nasty little knuckles in coal investment. How's about that? Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, it's not slowing them down. Those Clintons are gonna make West Virginia love them, whether they want to or not. Turns out that Bill Clinton did go to Logan. Even though they put out their best "Don't Let the Sun Set on You Here" sign, they just had to blow some dust off of it from a couple of generations back. Mm-hmm. And Bill got booed Yeah, the Fiends of Coal came up and booed old Bill Clinton. Dang it, they used to love him here. Back when Mountaintop Removal was getting going in earnest in his administration, and they were just blowing the hell out of every mountain that they could get their hands on. They loved them some Bill Clinton. But now, no, not so damn much. Here's an example. Here we go.
That's good. That's a fair question. Where did you stop? Yeah, but what's it? There's a cafe. So we were at this little cafe and the state senator showed me plans for development up there. It cost $100 million to develop it. It'd bring as many jobs and then some as have been lost in the coal industry.
What job we got now? People want to keep my job.
I'm 56
years old. Where did you get my job?
I understand.
Where am I going, man?
I don't know that any president can do anything about the natural gas thing. Do you think
I don't know if you quite caught that, but fella said, I'm 56 year old. What about my job? The Republican voting friend of Cole there doesn't realize that he does not have a constitutional right to mine coal and, you know, poison his neighbors and bury streams and you know, destroy his own community. There's no constitutional right to that. But he is, after all, a moron, because this is Moran Monday. And so he's screeching at Bill Clinton. And interestingly, did you catch Bill's response? I don't know, he said. If there's anything that any president can do about what the natural gas industry's done to coal. And see, that doesn't work with these knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing freaks. Because they know that the Obama EPA war on coal is what done took away their jobs. The Kenyan Muslim usurper, he went after them. He come after them. And that's why they voted for Hillary in the Democratic primary back in 2008. Remember? Sure you do. Way back then, I think we even had the audio of one woman saying, well, I voted for Hillary because this country just isn't ready for one of them in our White House. Right? But they're not happy.
She stopped producing.
We don't want your handouts. We want work.
I know that.
Leave us the hell alone. Go back to D.C. or wherever you want.
Oh, he said, go on back to D.C. or wherever it is you belong. Leave us the hell alone. And boy, I tell you what, them state troopers began to surround him like a... yeah. We want to work! In other words, we want to be able to poison our community. We want to get... Well, no, these guys are out of work. They're probably underground coal miners. And you know who they should be pissed off at? Shh. They should be pissed off at Cecil Roberts, the international president of the United Mine Workers, who has never seen a mountain that he did not want to blow up if he could get a couple of union jobs out of it. See, Cecil Roberts, by not condemning mountaintop removal, actually condemned his own rank and file. Because way back before mountaintop removal got started, there were 100,000 coal miners working underground in the state of West Virginia alone. Now, there's less than 14,000 miners of all stripe, and 4,000 of those are mountaintop removal coal miners, which means they're not coal miners at all. And most of them are non-union. Oops. Because nothing wipes out underground coal mining jobs quite like mountaintop removal does. Because while it might take a crew of 20, 30, 40 men working underground, working all the machinery down there, why it only takes about 10 fellers running a bunch of heavy equipment and blasting operations to take down 5,000 acres of mountain in 5 years' time. All it takes is a whole bunch of money from Wall Street, you know, Hillary's pals. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, when she shows up in Williamson, you can pretty much guess that she's not going to issue any clarion calls for an end to mountaintop removal. Because see, it's easy to point out the just plain evil behind the poisoning of people in Flint, Michigan, because that was just nasty, nasty, nasty right-wing Republican politics. You know, hand in hand with a little bit of corporatism. But if you want to talk about hillbillies being poisoned, well, then you got to talk about the coal companies. And if you're going to talk about the coal companies, you got to talk about where the coal companies get the money from. And the coal companies get their money from the same people that give their money to, you know, Hillary Clinton. So, you know, don't. Let's check back in with Cletus here.
Back to D.C. or wherever you want.
Let him alone. I want him to stay.
That is a killer.
Now, dang it. All right, we're going to get back to it now.
That's good. That's a fair question.
She made the statement that she was going to shut us down.
No.
Yes, she did.
No. You heard what Joe said.
You and your little
even the Energy Department estimates that you got more than 20 years to do that. She was talking about, and she admitted she was misunderstood and didn't place the best word. She was talking about what natural gas has done to coal.
She admitted she was misunderstood. Woo, that ain't even in the same county with personal responsibility, is it? No. The EPA is a killiness. No, Cletus. The fracking natural gas industry is killing you. But actually, you're killing you because you're poisoning yourself and you're poisoning other people. And, well, everywhere the coal that you dig is burned, somebody's being poisoned. But we're not so good at that whole attenuated causation, attenuated responsibility thing. I mean, he goes to church every Sunday like he's supposed to. Jesus loves him. He loves Jesus. Where's the problem? Jesus loves coal. Coal loves Jesus. But see, the interesting thing out of all of this is that even though the coal industry is somewhat weakened, it is far from done. The blasts are still going off. Why? Just in the last few days, a coal company applied for a permit renewal on a mountaintop removal site on the Boone-Logan line. They've already blasted the mountain to the kingdom come in part, and they want to blast some more of it. Why? They've applied for another permit there on Coal River Mountain. Because, you know, coal is dead. Just ask the Sierra Club in one of its fundraising emails. They'll be happy to tell you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. I used to get the Sierra Club blast pitches, but I guess somewhere along the way, somebody told them that I was sharing out their "Save the Last Gray Wolf," and you'll get a free canvas messenger bag, just like the one that John Muir carried into his up into Hetch Hetchy when he was hiking there 100 years ago. Only this messenger bag will be sewn together by some Chinese peasant slave laborer chained to a table in Guangdong Free Trade Province, China. And you know what? Somewhere along, they took me off their list. I never asked him to take him up and take me off the list, but I just disappeared. How's about that? But coal is not done in Appalachia. Coal has plenty of killing and poisoning yet in it. And coal is so strong that they can lean on city officials in a town like Logan and say, you got to tell them not to come here. Because they ain't friends of coal. Yeah, let's get back to Bill for a minute here, shall we?
Now, that's what it was. It's clear, and everybody knew what she was talking about. It was there. You can take it out and put it in a political ad and make it look different, but that's what she was talking about. All I can tell you is, if you got an idea about what we can do to deal with the loss of jobs, like in Wyoming, they were doing great, and all of a sudden the biggest company declares bankruptcy because of the gas problem and because the demand dropped off the face.
We didn't vote for Obama, and you can get rid of all of us. In West Virginia, Kentucky, and we got no job. But I can go to Illinois and work every day. Now you tell me how
Did you hear that? He can go to Illinois and work every day. Well, stand not upon the order if you're going, Cletus, but go at once. The IQ of Southern West Virginia will go up by a micron of a point, and the IQ of Illinois will drop. Sheesh. The natural gas problem is how Bill now describes it. But you know how I know who these people are? One, they're wearing their Massey stripes. And two, because this would be the conversation that would really be fun to have with Bill. Hey, Bill, there's more than 20 scientifically peer-reviewed journal articles that detail how mountaintop removal, which got going in earnest under your administration, is poisoning the people who have to live with it. Not just the workers, but the people who have nothing to do with the operations, who just happen to live near them or below them. They're being poisoned and killed, Bill. What say you? But none of those questions got answered down there in Logan, because anybody that tried to raise those questions, the ones that were cheering for Bill and the ones that were screaming at him to go the hell home, would have instantly turned around, found common cause, and beat the living snot out of the goddamn tree hugger, who would merely be talking about facts and science. Yeah.
You can go where? Yeah, you can. Well, you should be able to. You should be able to, but I'm just telling you that the government's got to invest some money here to do that.
Did you hear what he did there? He used the Bubba mind trick. Are you upset? Are you upset? Well, yeah, I'm upset. Well, you have a perfect right to be upset. What's Cletus going to do now?
You can't. I think, let me get in here. Wait a minute.
We won't work. We won't need your government
to
just let us work.
We won't work. But we don't want to do nothing but what we want to do. We won't work. We want them little goddamn Keebler coal elves under the ground to get busy and make some more coal. Because, I mean, we only been mining it here for over 100 years. It's not like it's a finite resource nor nothing. We can mine coal forever because it's what we want to do. We want work as long as it's the work we want. More ends.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, they was a clapping because he said, we won't work.
That's what Democrats stand for in
union. You took the union away.
Wait, what's this about the union, huh? What?
But we'd be a heck of a lot better off in this country if we had more meetings like this and less screaming and shouting, and at least we looked each other in the eye and listened to each other and figured out what in the heck we can do. All I can tell you is, if she wins, I will do every single solitary thing I can personally to do what I spent my lifetime doing. It's my experience that if people got something to do when they get up in the morning and they think their kids are going to have a better life, 90% of the other problems get real small real quick. I will do everything I can. I believe she got the best plan going forward. Other people will make vague promises and use hot rhetoric and get people foaming at the mouth. She will tell you what she will do, and that's where I'm at. I hope you get it right there. Thank you for that.
And then he walks back and shakes hands with Joe Manchin. Oh, for pity's sakes. You took away the union. Okay, let's be clear. Bill Clinton did not take away the union. Who took away the union was a fellow by the name of Don Blankenship. And you know what? They were more than happy to go to Don Blankenship's rallies on top of mountaintop removal sites and get the sweet melodious tones of the guitar played to him by none other than Ted Nugent. And Don would stand up there in his Merkin flag shirt and his Merkin flag ball cap and his Merkin flag backdrop and talk about how we don't need no unions at Massey. And, of course, back then, the Rubes were getting paid a whole lot of money. And they were getting Massey stock, and Massey stock was worth oodles and oodles of money. And then the bottom fell out, and all of a sudden the Rubes ain't so damn happy anymore. You took the union away. No, that's the worst part of it. Anatole in the chat room says Joe Manchin's a Republican. Actually, he runs as a Democrat. Now, nobody in their right mind thinks he actually is a Democrat. But let's remember that by being so cozy with Joe Manchin, even though most of his hopes have been dashed upon the rocks of his own avarice, I mean, Jesus Christ, how bad is it when your own brother sues you for $2 million? He'd kind of like to be Hillary's running mate. Now, there's not a chance in hell that that's going to happen, but still, he'd like it, because Joe thinks he could probably fix America. I played you the clip of what she said there back in March about putting coal miners out of work. Joe Manchin said, after she said it was horrific what she said about coal. I called her. I said, my God. I said, Hillary, listen, you probably don't need West Virginia. Maybe you don't even think you can win it and don't need to win it. I really don't know how your team is evaluating our state. Tomorrow she goes to Williamson. In the past, Williamson has been known as the heart of the billion-dollar coal fields. Of course, now it's just sad, beaten down, miserable, bedraggled blot on the landscape that the coal industry, having had its way with them, has been more than happy to see pass into ignominious decline. Mm-hmm. And, of course, a week from tomorrow, we will have our primary here in West Virginia. And I'm excited. I'm still excited. I'm going to get to go to the polls, and I'm going to get to vote for somebody that I actually want to vote for, that I'm actually excited to vote for, someone whose policies make me think that maybe there's at least one politician left in the country who thinks that working people are more important than billionaire people. I'm talking, of course, about Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders, was that who Bill was talking about? That'll use hot rhetoric, and vague plans. Because there's a distinct possibility Hillary may get her hindquarters handed to her by Bernie here in West Virginia. A week later, Kentucky votes, and Kentucky may do the same. Back in February, the last poll that anybody bothered to take here in West Virginia, because, you know, we're really just not that important, it showed Bernie up by about 30 points. Well, like I said, it's going to be exciting to go and vote for her. Janet Keating of the Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition was interviewed by Think Progress, and she'd managed to actually get in the human rights angle. She said, the fact of the matter is there are numerous health studies that have shown that people's health is being really, really harmed by coal from the cradle to the grave, literally. And it is literally. And Think Progress cites to some of the health articles, some of the studies. Low life expectancy, things like that. No mention in the article, however, of the only remedy to any of this that exists, namely the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. Robert up near Morgantown says, Hillary's there now, Bob, meaning Williamson. Maybe they changed the schedule. But she was expected to speak in Williamson tomorrow, unless today is Tuesday, which it isn't. So we got that, but we're not done. Because I have another moron for you. Oh, yes. This is,
you know, the...
hang on, you're not on yet, Jim. Jim Justice is a billionaire, may actually be richer than Donald Trump. And he's running for the Democratic nomination for governor of this state. And odds are he's going to get it. And Jim Justice is a problem on a number of fronts. The billionaire part being one of those fronts. Some of his billions come from the fact that he blows up mountains and poisons people. Other of his problems come from... Well, his
status as a person who is, how shall we put it? Atne ute aitbre if you one what I eme. Jim Justice is one of those people that proves vast amounts of inherited wealth are neither a predictor nor an indicator of overall gross intelligence. So he's been doing, and I've already told you the story about the Kunta Kinte story that he tells. Jim Justice is also a racist. And for the life of me, I don't understand what I'm not seeing happen around here. David Duke came out and endorsed Donald Trump, and this is no defense of Trump, but the for-profit media were on him like a duck on a June bug, demanding that he disavow the endorsement of you know, David Duke, because David Duke's of the Klan, and he's a grand imperial noble 32nd, 33rd degree, exalted pish posh, mobile lumpkin, grand wizard, infotego, whatever. And the for-profit media howled with outrage. Rightly so. David Duke is a vicious, racist piece of crap. But it wasn't, I mean, and Donald Trump has said whatever Donald Trump has said. And he's said plenty. But Jim Justice goes around telling his Kunta Kinte story. You know, God told me, Jim Justice, I made you Jim Justice and not Kunta Kinte for a reason. I want you to use your wealth to do great things. At Kunta Kinte, he had pretty hard go of it. Whew, mother. So, here we have Jim Justice. Talking about all the wonderful things he does with all his wonderful money. And, well, okay. All right, Jim, you're on, buddy. Bring the good stuff.
You know, the best workforce that I have 102 different companies. The very number one documented over and over and over and over and over workforce that I have is probably an 85% African American workforce. They're our farming people.
I forgot the hockey puck warning. I am so sorry. The best workforce that I have is probably an 85% African American workforce. They're our farming people. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit like, well, no, that's kind of it, no. I really don't think we need any analogies here, do we? Our being what's called in the art of knowing words a possessive pronoun, and that would be in the plural, or maybe in the royal, our farming people. We are not amused. Well, granted, I was late with the hockey puck warning, but that's okay. You'll still have use of it. Let's go back and let's get the whole thing here.
Workforce that I have is probably an 85% African American workforce. They're our farming people. They're our very best that we have. They love me with all my soul.
They do. They love him with all his soul. By the way, this is all in response to a question of why people of color should vote for Jim Justice. Because he loves the African American farming people. That's why. I have our a lot of possessing going on there. And they love me with all my soul. Shouldn't they be loving him with all of their souls? I mean, this guy wants to be governor. There's a level of racism here and of privilege and of cluelessness that I don't think can scientifically be measured by anything we have yet invented.
Workforce that I have is probably an 85% African American workforce. They're our farming people. They're our very best that we have. They love me with all my soul. They don't go out and pick cucumbers. They drive the most high-tech farming equipment in the land.
They don't go out and pick cucumbers. Of course not. Cucumbers. Cucumbers. No.
Pick cucumbers. They drive the most high-tech farming equipment in the land. They plant more corn acres than anybody in America.
Well, so there. Damn it. And what's this business about? They love me with all my soul. I mean, doesn't that conjure an image of benevolent old Marsh sitting down on the plantation? My goodness gracious, my farm workers, my farming people do love me with all my soul. Bring me another julep there. I wish I was making this up. Ron, who is back from the sandbox and is once again ensconced in the squishy north, says, that little message probably has all the employees at the Greenbrier shaking their heads. A very large percentage of the hotel staff are black, mostly from the Lewisburg area. They probably don't appreciate being considered inferior to his farming people workforce. And, I don't know. You got anything? I got nothing. Because for my soul, such as it is, I don't understand how this guy gets the pass he's getting. I can't be the only person, the only progressive Democrat in West Virginia who is put off by this. Is there a state chapter of the NAACP? Has anybody told them about the Kunta Kinte story and this story? We're about to nominate a guy for governor who's one thread count away from a Klan robe. Holy. And then he's going to turn around after he's got the nomination and he's going to endorse Trump. This beats cats copulating. Why the pass? Can anybody explain why he's getting a pass? Granted, he's a dear, dear friend of Joe Manchin. And, of course, if he's the nominee, we get the usual BS dichotomy in November. It'll be him or it'll be Bill Cole, who thinks that anybody who makes more than $2 an hour makes an unfairly high wage. And so this guy will probably end up the governor. Now, if there's a silver lining in all of this, we found out in the last couple of years that being governor of West Virginia really doesn't amount to much. Because the legislature can override your damn veto with a simple majority, 50% plus 0.00001. But damn, it's too much. I mean, if a guy was running for governor saying this crap in Talabama or South Carolina Stan or Tennistan or Arkanstan, he'd be splattered from here to yonder all over the progressive media. Look at the filthy racist. But he's got a D behind his name because he decided to put it there. And I guess we're just West Virginia and everybody expects us to be racist. I think we're more expected to be racist than Mississippi Stan is. Tim from L.A. says, if he said shit like that in California, he'd be hanged. At least in effigy, I presume. He's probably got business holdings in California, too. And after all, he's got 102 different companies. But I love the question that led to that answer. Many African Americans feel abandoned by the Democratic Party, and we've been totally ignored by the Republican Party in the modern era. I'd like you to share with the people here, most of whom are African Americans, why they should consider voting for you. I'll bet he didn't tell the Kunta Kinte story there. He just kind of bet. Farming people. So here it is, 3 minutes past the hour. The filibobster will herein come to a close for this Morin Monday. Your thoughts, your observations, your commentary, your conversation are all most welcome. You know how to reach the program. Line 1, 304-574-8178. 304-574-8178. Line 2, the stress line, named for Bill, Mr. Stress Miller, gone but not forgotten. 304-663-4676. 304-663-HORN, H-O-R-N. Either way is fine by me. And you're welcome to bring any Moran nomination to the table that you wish. Yeah, Ron in the squishy north says, we're simple people, sir. We sing, we dance. When the sun goes down and the moon comes up, never mind. I wonder if they sing while they're driving his very best farm equipment there on the farm. Are they driving the very best cars when they go home? I'm guessing not. I'm guessing his farming people aren't out there driving Mercedes-Benz and Audis and BMWs and Lexi. Lexus. No. And they love me with all their soul. Everybody loved Jim Justice. Well, unless you're a state government that would like to get for him to pay his damn taxes, or unless you're one of the business people who the many business people who have been screwed over by him not paying his debts. I mean, there are those people. All right, let's take a break. 5 minutes into the second hour of the program, I was hoping I wouldn't have to do this, but I have to do this. We try to raise $200 a night, and thus far we are at zero. It would be nice if we could get off that zero number and get up closer to that $200 number, because, well, there are always bills to be paid. Your choice, mail, PayPal, whatever amount. We're always looking to add new subscribers. New subscribers, you just click that box there in the contribute area of the headonradionetwork.com. It says make this a recurring contribution. And we're still working on our first 100 contributors. Ultimately, we'd like to get to 400. But for now, getting to 100 would be just dandy. All right, then. Let's take a break. Jump in with the conversation. Or, God help you, I'll fill a Bobster some more. Your choice. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Yeah.
Seemed appropriate. Paul McCartney and Wings. Junior's Farm. Justice's Farm. Jimmy's Farm. More and Monday on the horn. How about a nomination for the Washington Press Corps? If you were like under a rock or whatever, you might not have known that the annual self-congratulatory Washington Press Corps Correspondents' Dinner was held this weekend. It was the final Washington Correspondents' Dinner for President Barack Obama, who really did bring his A material. He got him laughing with a dig at Hillary. He said, "I'm sorry I was late, but I was operating on CPT, which stands for Things White People Should Never Even Joke About." And that got some uncomfortable laughter from the crowd. And he said, "Hey, if this material works out next year, I'm gonna take it to the Goldman Sachs next year and earn me some serious Tubmans." Whoever wrote that is pretty damn good. It was funny all the way through. Good stuff. But the guest comedian this year was Larry Wilmore of Comedy Central, or as Barack Obama referred to him, one of the two black guys who aren't Jon Stewart. And along the way, think of it what you will. Larry Wilmore looked at President Obama and said something along the lines of, "Congratulations, you've done it, my," and that word that I so thoroughly despise. Only it was the despicable word that ends in A as opposed to ER, which culturally conveys some sort of perceived difference. So today at the daily White House press gaggle, what was the White House press upset about? Need you ask? No, of course you don't. Here we go.
Yeah. His last White House Correspondents Association dinner. He gave jokes, got some ribbing. What did he think about the final words that were delivered to him and of him, the President of the United States? A word that is one of the worst words many people say you could say to anyone that's going down in history. What did he think about that? What's his reaction?
Well, April, I think the first thing that I would observe is that any comedian who signed up to follow President Obama at the White House Correspondents' Dinner is assuming one of the most difficult tasks in comedy. Just by nature of the engagement, that's a tough job, following the President of the United States. President Obama also over the years has shown himself to be rather adept at delivering a speech that consists primarily of one or two liners. And the president enjoys that opportunity. So the point is that Mr. Wilmore had a difficult job that he was facing on Saturday. And the president's expectation as Mr. Wilmore took on that responsibility, is that comedians are going to go right up to the line.
Many African Americans in that room, to include civil rights leaders, black comedians, were very appalled. Even members of the Republican Party, black Republicans, were upset. Black Democrats were upset. People...
Sorry, did you catch what I caught? Even the black Republicans were upset. Even. And she goes on to catalog who else was upset. But I even, because when she puts even in front of the black Republicans, you know, both of them, the meaning conveyed is that, well, hell, they're a member of a party that uses that word every chance it gets if it thinks there isn't a microphone nearby.
Even the Republic, even the black Republican.
I think that was Tim Scott of South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even. Yeah, this is what's on the mind of the Johnny on the spot Washington press corps. I would prefer the word had not been used. I understood why it was used. And my personal assumption is that the Republican Party's been, God damn it, how did he, that's where political correctness will lead you. They'll get to use that word, but we can't. That's reverse racism, my friends. Oh, give me another one, a handful of pills. All better, my friends. Even the black Republican.
That comedians are going to go right up to the line.
Many African Americans in that room, yeah, to include civil rights leaders, black comedians, were very appalled. Even members of the Republican Party, black Republicans, were upset.
No, that's just perfect. Even members of the Republican Party were upset. Words mean things. They were appalled, I tell you. Yeah.
Democrats were upset. People felt that not just throwing it at him, they threw it at them, and also it diminished the office of the presidency and it diminished him. Did he cross the line?
April, what I would say is that it's not the first time that people on the Monday after the White House Correspondents' Dinner, that some people have observed that the comedian on Saturday night crossed the line. That happened in 2006 after Stephen Colbert delivered his speech. There were many people who felt like he had overstepped his bounds in delivering his remarks. But to a lesser extent, many people made the same observation about the presentation of Wanda Sykes in 2009. So it's not the first time that we've had a conversation like this in which these kinds of concerns have been raised or expressed. Look, I had an opportunity to speak to the president about this briefly this morning, and he said that he appreciated the spirit of the sentiments that Mr. Wilmore expressed. He ended his speech by saying that he couldn't put into words the pride that he felt in this president. And he made the observation that our country has made remarkable progress just in his lifetime. From not being willing to accept an African-American quarterback to electing and re-electing an African-American, not just to lead the United States, but to lead the free world.
Okay, so that should be the end of it, maybe? As Queen of the Minions Carol Baker notes, trust me, black people don't give a fuck what white people think of Larry Wilmore calling Barack my nigga. Larry has been doing a shtick called the unblackening of the White House. Fuck him. He's a comedian. I laughed. Maybe they think Larry should be lynched or something. Oh, the precious and delicate fifis of the highly paid Washington press corps. Aren't they just darling? And yeah, Steve, you're right. In New York, Steve writes, where were the Republicans being appalled back when Bush put up his video of him looking under the sofa for weapons of mass destruction? Thank God our fourth estate is on the beat. Ron and Raleigh, meanwhile, just wondering. Bob, I haven't heard. Maybe you have. What is Senate Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton's Secret Service moniker? Her code name. Is it She-Devil? Banshee? Perhaps Harridan? Virago? Mm-hmm. No, I did not say I was going to go out and vote for her tomorrow. I said I'm going to go... No. Marty said, did you really say that you were excited to get out and vote for her tomorrow? I thought Bernie would be a him. Just some feeble Monday humor. That ain't funny, Marty. That's sick. Medusa, says Devin. Oh, please, oh, please, oh, please. Don't let that be tonight's contest. What is Hillary Clinton's Secret Service code name? And the point is getting back to what Larry Wilmore said a great comedian will challenge people and do it by tucking it behind a laugh. Oh, hell, here we go. Lottie in the chat room, codename Brunhilde. Ron in the squishy north, Hydra. We're off and running. But, yeah, Larry Wilmore used a word in its colloquial parlance that Republicans have been using to describe Barack Obama for 9 years. I can guarantee you, because I've got the empirically gathered data to prove it, that Larry Wilmore was using a word that ordinary, white, angry, middle-aged Americans in Appalachia damned sure use to describe the President of the United States. He went from the word, it's called code switching, he went from the word that has an I, an N, an R, an E, and two G's that isn't ginger, to my, yeah. Yeah. Oh, now that's esoteric. Steve in New York. Well, you know, Broadway's in New York, so this makes it. Steve in New York suggests code name Elphaba. I told you it was esoteric. And the fact of the matter is, there were two black men on that dais Saturday night, and they didn't care that white people were watching. Uh-uh. Well, let's get a little bit more of this, shall we?
That's, again, I take Mr. Wilmore at his words that he found that to be a powerful transformation just in his lifetime, and that's something that he seemed to be pretty obviously proud of.
Why is the White House Director of Communications, the White House spokesman, wasting even a second of his life on this? Why does this matter to the hopelessly vacuous White House press corps? Oh, I don't know. I think we've got an early lead now in the contest. Todd, codename Blucher. You got to do that when you say Blucher. Now, how did the cat get back here? Okay, so here's the context. I've always joked that I voted for the president because he's black, Wilmore said. Behind that joke is a humble appreciation for the historical implications for what your presidency means. When I was a kid, I lived in a country where people couldn't accept a black quarterback, and now to live in your time, Mr. President, when a black man can lead the entire free world, if I'm going to keep it 100... Wilmore concluded as he pounded his chest with a fist bump. Yo, Barry, you did it, my nigga. And apparently that did not sufficiently console, or that wasn't easy. The White House press corps just can't understand. Let there be clutching of pearls.
Does Wilmore's use of freedom of speech give presence to detractors fodder now to be able to call him that and call others that?
Well, I have no idea what impact Larry Wilmore's speech is going to have on the president's critics, and I don't think I'm going to spend much time worrying about it.
I understand that there is a conversation about that word. The president in June of last year used it as a teaching moment to show that issues of race are still a problem in this country. But Wilmore used it for the president somewhat as a butt of the joke. And you were in that room as well as I was. It was an eerie, awkward silence and quietness. People didn't know how to handle that.
Yeah. April, I know this is a word that does. Let me say it this way. I'm confident that Mr. Wilmore used the word by design. He was seeking to be provocative. But I think any reading of his comments makes clear he was not using the president as the butt of a joke.
You know, there's an old saying that when you have to explain the joke, all the comedy has been sucked out of it. Yeah. Oh, by the way, let's see. Robert in near Morgantown says she Taz, but no, the real thank you, courtesy of Sparky. The real Secret Service code names. Hillary Clinton is Evergreen, which kind of goes with the Elphaba, if you know what I mean. And Bernie is Intrepid.
Mr. Press Secretary, please white-splain us.
Oh, dear God. Brother Deacon Asa says, I don't know, Bob. I personally feel a little hypocritical thinking we get to tell black folk what they can and can't call each other. Well, there is that. Right. Just a little bit more of this foolishness.
What is true is that this is a tough assignment that any comedian takes on when they sign up for this job. And the president's expectation when he walks in that room is that comedian and other people are going to get much closer to the line than they ordinarily would as they try to make a joke.
Okay, so I just want to be very clear. So the president is okay with his use and how he used the word, the N-word, jigaboo, Negro Nation, and thug.
Well, April, I'll just restate what I said before, which is that the president expressed, what the president said is that he appreciated the spirit of Mr. Wilmore's expressions on Saturday night.
not good enough. And because Steve in New York just said, oh, damn, people are finally allowed to call the president that word now? Finally allowed. You know, you can learn a lot from the questions, as much from the questions as you can from the answers. Finally allowed. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, there's a refugee crisis that's still going on. That kind of stuff. Evergreen and intrepid. Well, let's get this out of the way. It's Monday. That means there must be some dead people in Merca from our fixation on firearms. Uh-huh. Walgreens. Arlington, Texas. This is painful. This is sad. This is horrible. A man and his wife went to Walgreens in Arlington. And when they got there, they saw a woman who worked at Walgreens laying on the ground near the store entrance, having been shot in the leg. I mean, that's the beginning of the story, not the end of it. So, having seen, and because this is Texas, having seen a woman who has been shot in the leg, the guy, the husband, ran back to his car. You know, a lot of us, and with some of the more upscale automobiles, they'll provide you a first aid kit that goes in the trunk or the boot or whatever. So the guy goes running back to his car and retrieves his Freedom Protector. Oh, really? He was going to render aid and assistance to the woman who had already been shot in the leg with his Freedom Protector. At which point, he confronted the guy who had shot the woman because the guy was still on premises. The suspect, the shooter, the guy who had already shot, was trying to leave in his automobile. And because he was trying to leave in the automobile, the guy who went to get not a first aid kit, but a shooting gun, a Freedom Protector, because Wolverines! Well, he took his Freedom Protector and he pointed it at the guy in the car, the shooter, who had already proven that he was willing to shoot people. He pointed his gun at the guy in the car, trying to get the car to stop. Well, this then caused the guy in the car to put his car in park, get out of the car with the Freedom Protector that still had more, I mean, it wasn't a single-shot Freedom Protector. It wasn't some sort of muzzle-loader pistol for dueling or any of that kind of stuff. No. It had lots more rounds in it. And so he got out of his car, walked over, shot the guy in the head, and then got in the car and left. Ricky Braddon is 22 years old. He was either the husband or the boyfriend of the woman who was laying on the ground bleeding from a bullet wound in her leg. The story, as it is reported via Reuters, says that the wounded woman was taken to a hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Now, here's the fun part. No, there's no fun part. This is where it gets very messy and very interesting. Freedom Protector, who with his wife showed up at Walgreens, did not see the guy shoot the woman in the leg. In point of fact, we don't know why he shot the woman in the leg. We can go a step further and note that here in Merca, the greatest, most heavily armed country in the world, on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe, amen, under God. Hallelujah. Sometimes the gun just goes off. More on that in a minute. And sometimes when the gun just goes off, people get shot in the arm, the leg, the face, the hand. Yeah. So we don't know why the woman was shot. But this is Texas, okay? So when Freedom Protector goes to his car to get not his first aid kit, but his Freedom Protector, and comes back and points it at dude, that, under the laws of the state of Texas, probably affords dude, Ricky Braddon, age 22, the right to blow Freedom Protector, described in the story by Reuters as a Good Samaritan. I don't remember anything in the parable of the Good Samaritan in the New Testament about the Good Samaritan being packing heat, or even a sword back then. Put up thy sword into his place, for those that live by the sword shall die by the sword, Yeshua was once noted to have said. Oh, God Almighty. So the killer may actually have a defense here, because the Good Samaritan pointed his Good Samaritan Freedom Protector at him first. Because it's a dangerous world out there. And you may recall on Friday I mentioned the study that was out by the American Center for Violence or whatever that shows that if you've got a Freedom Protector for personal defense, the odds are, well, the very, very few shootings that take place are actually self-defense shootings. Had he pulled the trigger, that's what our friend the Freedom Protector would have claimed. But instead, he got a bullet put through his head because he pointed his Freedom Protector at somebody else. And Texas wants it that way. A majority of the people of Texas apparently want it to be that way because somehow or another it enhances their sense of masculinity or machismo, or I don't know. Let's see, one, two, how many lives ruined out of that?
I mean, imagine the moment. Just take a second to imagine the moment. Honey, let's go down to the Walgreens. I hear they got a sale on lawn furniture. You know, we need a couple of them folding chairs for when we go out to the edge of the pond and put a line in the water. Yeah, I think they are emblazoned with the SMU logo, which, you know, we both are fond of. Let us go down to the Walgreens. All right, dear. That's all it was. Maybe they were going down to the Walgreens to get his Viagra filled. Who knows? It was just a trip to the Walgreens. And because it's Texas and because it's the United States of America, it turns into the shootout at the OK Corral. Because you got to realize that Freedom Protector Good Samaritan there has been thinking about that day a-coming since the moment he bought that pistol. I'm buying this because someday I may have to defend freedom. Because that's what the NRA tells me every time they send me my magazine. And instead, a loving wife is now a widow. A girlfriend is in the hospital. And 22-year-old Ricky Braden is in custody on a homicide charge. Tell me how anybody's lives were made any better by the presence of a firearm in that situation. Even if the gun just went off the first shot, even if it was intentional. Because you'll notice he's in custody on a homicide charge. He's not in custody on a charge of unlawful wounding of his girlfriend slash wife. Although he was trying to get away, which does not speak well of Ricky Braden's intent. All they had to do was leave the goddamn gun at home. Maybe better yet, all they had to do was not have the goddamn gun. Boom. Simple. 16 minutes before the hour, we remain at we remain at zero for fundraising for the evening. Going into tomorrow with a big old $400 hole is not good. Hopefully someone will respond here at the beginning of the month. Note coming in from Martha D. in Pembroke Pines, Florida. Bernie delegate election this Saturday. I'm a listener from Florida. My son and I are running for Bernie delegates to the national convention in District 23. That's Wasserman Schultz's district. We want Tim Canova to unseat her. The state Democratic Party has done nothing to advertise this election or to even help delegate candidates and only told us who had actually made the ballot 2 weeks ago. Not long enough to campaign. Can you please give us a shout-out on your show and tell people to get out and vote this Saturday? Particulars below. Justin Kirikoff and Martha DuPont for District 23 delegates to National Convention for Bernie Sanders. Saturday, May 7th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Broward College, 7200 Pines Boulevard, Pembroke Pines, Florida. It is the only polling place, and you must be a registered Democrat to vote. So if you live in that district, get out and vote for Martha and Justin. A mother-son team running to be delegates to the national convention on Bernie's behalf. Absolutely. Happy to do it, Martha. Thank you for the note, and thank you for being part of the community. All right. Hey, look, it's the Angry Indian.
What do you say, Angry?
Hello?
Yeah, hey. Sorry you had to wait. Yeah. I just wanted to finish off the that little outbreak of freedom in Texas.
Yeah, I don't know. You have to wonder what sort of a mentality you're dealing with where it's 2016, but you have people that feel that if they're not strapped like John Wayne, that racist son of a bitch, in a fucking movie, then, you know, you're not safe. You're not safe. That in order for the violence to stop, everybody's got to be strapped, because that way we know for a fact that the violence will stop. I don't know who the fuck believes that. That, you know, this it's just nonsense.
Well,
you,
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen such a clear case in a while, Angry, of why this is a problem. I mean, that just I mean, that screams. The headline says describes it as Texas man shot and killed after trying to stop domestic violence against Walgreens worker. No, if it was indeed domestic violence, the domestic violence had already been done. She was already shot. She was laying on the ground. You call the cops. You sit in the car. If she, you render whatever assistance you can, if you wish. There is not an obligation. But more guns does not make for a better situation. This, I mean, it's astonishing to me. Or not, you know, Merca.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned that there was another one of those "the gun just went off" stories. Well, I got it here, and it comes from right here where I live. You know, it's that time of year where we begin thinking about outdoor activities and so forth. Children and parents had gone to swimming lessons this past Friday. Jackie K said this man was sitting not 2 feet away and his gun went off. He had a huge hole in his pocket. Everyone was upset. It could have been a terrible tragedy for many people. And this was down at the University of Charleston, an indoor pool. They don't allow guns on their campus. And yet this guy has a concealed carry permit, so he just needs to bring it to the children's swimming lessons in case, what, in case ISIS decides to invade the swimming pool at the University of Charleston?
Of course.
And the gun just went off, thoughts and prayers, oops, blam, pray. I mean, you got anything for me here, Angry? Because I got nothing.
I just said, you know, you're dealing with a scared populace. You know, they've been pushing the Walter Lippmann, you know, war mindset for so goddamn long. I mean, look, the only time that I've ever heard in my motherfucking lifetime of the United States Supreme Court, when they defended these violent video games, saying that, you know, they weren't going to ban them, that they weren't going to try to make the industry put a fucking, you know, like to draw, there's lines. And just to say, you know, no, we're not going to do this. You know, Grand Theft Auto. I mean, my wife had to explain that to me. And I was just like, well, fuck, you know, why would anybody even buy that for their child? You know, but then you got 35, 38 year old fucking gamers. And I'm sorry. I have no sympathy for fucking gamers. I mean, you know, it's a fucking game. It's just that. Yeah, I mean, I've had fuckers argue to me online that, you know, gaming is a human right. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
They say, what? Huh?
Well, look, they grew up with this, so they can't see themselves separate from it, you know? They can't see themselves separate from it.
Well, I mean, I go back to a time when I was pumping quarters into Ms. Pac-Man and the Williams Company's Defender game.
Well...
But it's not...
I like Tempest myself, but yeah.
All right. You were one of the smart ones then. I get it.
Whatever, you know. But you know what I'm saying. I mean, you and I remember that when an arcade was pinball, right?
Yeah.
And it upgraded to these Atari things, and then, you know, games like Tempest came out, and then it got more complicated. Mortal Kombat, whatever the hell. So, you know, it came, cool thing, whatever the hell. for these, a lot of these young folks, man, they only know the internet. They, you know, we got things from radio and television. They get everything from the internet. Remember, we were limited because of the technology and, of course, what they were going to talk about. But with the internet, it's wide open. So we got confusion all over the goddamn place. And there's a lot of fucking people who still feel because, you know, because I've argued with these people on my own program. They're white and they live in one of these, you know, neighborhoods that's changing. And they're having a hard time. And frankly, a lot of these young white kids are, you know, being made to feel uncomfortable. When, you know, and to deny that is bullshit. You know, I mean, that's one thing the left needs to fucking stop about. You know, there's a lot of fucking, you know, if you're the only white kid or one of the few white kids in a certain area, you're going to get fucked with if somebody wants to be a fucking jerk. You know, let's not pretend. I mean, I'm mixed. I got my ass kicked growing up all the time just for being light-skinned. You dig what I'm saying? So, you know, that no one can tell me that fucking white guys are not occasionally catching, you know, the bad end of the stick. But that's the mentality that somehow I'm a white person and I have absolutely no control and I need this gun. But see, the funny thing about it is, though, Brother Bob, is that the people who live in places in Texas like that, say, where they got three or four fucking gangs in their goddamn neighborhood, where it's really violent, where their daughters really shouldn't be out late at night and all that, they're not clamoring for guns. They might, you know, if it's available, they'll go get one, you know, for GP. But they're not clamoring for it, for the most part. The people who are talking like this are surrounded by very few motherfucking minorities. And they would feel the same way whether there were immigrants here from the south of the border or not. You know, that they are, you know, the empire is falling. They don't know what the fuck to do. You know, I mean, right now they're blaming Spanish-speaking immigrants. But tomorrow they're going to start blaming Jews again if they don't accept Jesus.
Oh, no, I don't know if you noticed it, but Esquire published a pretty vanilla background piece on Melanoma Trump. You know, his latest trophy bride.
Oh, what they say. Well, I mean, I usually look at the Charles Pierce stuff
it was vanilla, but it was written by a woman who is a Jewish emigre from Russia 20 years ago. She came over with her family as a child. And so the minute the thing was published, she was immediately subjected to a barrage of the most vile anti-Semitism, and she said, "I haven't seen anything like this since I left Russia."
Ooh.
I mean, I think somebody told her that they hoped someone would make a lampshade out of her.
Whoa!
If I recall the story correctly.
Well, you see what's going on in the UK right now, don't you?
Oh yeah.
With Ken Livingstone. I mean, I just had a guest on my show and an activist over there, and she's tying this into a cover-up with the elections that they're having in about 2 or 3 days and the Hillsborough disaster, because, you know, that court case just came through. And it turns out that the police lied about everything. They blamed it on hooliganism and the poor people of Liverpool and the working class are scum. And look what they do when
it's always somebody else, yeah.
And it turns out that the police lied. They weren't even trying to save a lot of these people because they looked at these white people, their own countrymen, as beneath them and didn't even try to help them. And then fabricated, you know, a whole story about how they caused their own deaths. 90-some-odd people died. 70-some-odd of those folks were under the age of 30. It ranged from like 10 to 90-some-odd years in age, I believe. Anyone can go look it up. And what she was tying it into was that, you know, it made the Tories, because that was the Thatcher government at the time. I'm trying to remember who the Home Secretary, what his name was. But in any case, you got the elections coming up. So they've been really doing their best to badjacket Jeremy Corbyn. I mean, the second that he got in, they've been, you know, trying to pull his past that, you know, he's a Palestine supporter and he's a radical communist with an agenda to, you know, how do we know he's not an agent for Putin? You know, I mean, they were just pulling things out of their rectum. over there in the British press. So they've been attacking members of the Labour Party over there nonstop. And anything dealing with Israel right now is a super hot button. It usually is, but it's a super hot button in the sense that Mark Regev, some of you will remember that name, he's the number one propagandist for the Israeli government. I mean, as far as he's concerned, there's never been an unjustified killing or an unjustified detention or an unjustified action, be it Pillar of Cloud or, you know, Operation This, Operation That. You know, he's a total apologist. And he is now the ambassador from the State of Israel to the Court of St. James. And right after he got in, the attacks in terms of the attacks on labor, in terms of accusing them of anti-Semitism, have skyrocketed. And they're doing their best to badjacket the Labour Party over there, which is, you know, the most progressive party at this point because of the leadership of Jeremy Corbyn, to, you know, get rid of what the hell is going on with Cameron. I mean, you just talked about it yourself. David Cameron was caught on the Panama Papers, caught lying about his family's involvement and his personal banking involvement with the Panama Papers.
Right.
And flat out said that he's not going to resign. He says, I'm not stepping down. And here you have Corbyn, who is looking for some sort of justice. And when it comes to the State of Israel, you know, the United States is going to, you know, give all of this military aid, and they're demanding more. And the UK is in the same position. So, you know, they're using the, you know, the usual bit of these people hate Jews because they're questioning the State of Israel. And, you know, let's get rid of them. But Ken Livingston, just to try to make this short, ex-mayor of London, he pointed out a historical fact that there were negotiations between the Zionists in Occupy Palestine under the British mandate and the Nazi government. They were also dealing with Mussolini's government. And you could talk about Irgun and Lehi and the Haganah. You know, so no one wants to discuss that. But at the same time, they'll continue to mention the Grand Mufti, al-Husseini, who did work with the Nazis and had recruited East European Bosnian and Croatian Muslims who hated Serbs just as much as they hated Jews and Gypsies. But see, that none of that history is being brought up. So they're using that to derail them and get the public's mind off of the fact that the conservatives have been doing a cover-up for 30 years in terms of the Hillsborough disaster. And, you know, we see this here with Trump. We see this here with Hillary Clinton doing her best to derail Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders has the pull of the people, but you would never know. The press is only talking about Trump, and the DNC isn't even trying to make sure their own goddamn people, their own constituents, their own party members can vote.
Well, as I said here, the fact that our Democratic Party structure here in West Virginia won't say a damn word about statements that are obviously freighted with racism coming from their front runner, where's that commitment to racial justice?
Well, yeah, that's what they're asking in the UK. Here you have Boris Johnson. I mean, he's of high, I don't think he went to Eden, but, you know, of that level in Britain. He was born in the United States, actually, but he's the mayor of London right now. He refers to African people as pickaninnies. He makes racist comments against South Asians. He makes racist comments about Arabs, Muslims in general. I mean, he's a pig. He's a lot like Trump. And he wants to be prime minister, you know, at some point. So, you know, no one checks him on calling black people pickaninnies. Ken Livingston makes a historical reference, and he's completely dinged. Now, Trump says whatever the fuck he wants to say. We can line up all the quotes. It doesn't seem to matter. People can get beat up at every goddamn rally. It doesn't really matter. Because even with that, remember the first, because that man wasn't sucker punched. He was sucker elbowed. That brother who was sucker elbowed by that that old fella. It took a couple of days before they finally took him into custody, right? And he was charged. That stupid Air Force Sergeant Tony Petway, that Uncle Tom who punched the white guy who was standing up to the racism of Donald Trump, he was arrested on the spot. He's black. The white people who have been assaulting, you know, people of color and white people who are, you know, I mean, people who are standing with us on this issue, you know, are beating them up, like Michael Heimlich. No, Matthew Heimlich. He's a neo-Nazi. I can't remember the name of his organization. But the Southern Poverty Law Center says he's one of the most dangerous neo-Nazis in the country. He's been attending Trump rallies, and he's been assaulting people at Trump rallies. He's on film assaulting people at Trump rallies, and nothing has happened. No charges. He's been bragging about it on social media. Nothing has happened. We see the same thing going on with Pegida in Europe, in with the English Defense League in the UK. The far right is on the fucking move. The Nazis are even jumping up and down in Canada more so than they used to. The Klan has a branch in Canada. The Klan also has a branch in Australia. We need to put a stop to this. And, you know, and if Obama...
Right, but we can't put a stop to it here because freedom.
Because of freedom, yeah. And see, and we had a black president here for two motherfucking terms who didn't address this, knowing that he was walking out of office and that it not only would it not be addressed when he left, but that it was going to get worse when he fucking left. He knew full well when he fucking told Sister Michelle, yeah, I'm thinking about running, what he was getting into and what the effects would be. Things were going to get worse before they would get any goddamn better. Yes, there was going to be a white backlash. Yeah, they're going to complain about every goddamn thing that you say. But, you know, when, you know, and this is what angers a lot of people like me, when the gay community have had deaths and suicides and whatever, he and Hillary Clinton, who is the Secretary of State, what the fuck does she have to do with making a statement like that? You know, if you want to stretch things, they did video personal messages and we're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to sign legislation to do this and do that. But here you got black men and women being fucking murdered in custody, being shot to death on the fucking street, having our heads blown off for fucking bullshit traffic stops, shot in the fucking back, you know, because we're fucking scared. So, of course, we're goddamn running, you know. Having our necks broken because we look at a motherfucker the wrong way, being fucked up just not by white cops, but by black and Asian cops. And then, again, look at the fucking racial conundrum, like I mentioned with the Trump thing. Here, the Uncle Tom punches out a white guy. They busted him on the fucking spot. Here, you had a Chinese cop, you know, shoot somebody. And then, you know, the Chinese community is angry, you know, because both sides have a point with this. We're living in a fucking society that says, okay, well, we'll ding certain black cops, like in Texas, two black cops shot this father to death in front of his child. They were black. Yeah, they're being charged and they're fucking in the joint. Peter Liang, yeah, he's getting off in the sense that he's not going to do any prison time, but they prosecuted him. He's Chinese. They don't give a fuck about him. But here you had a white cop choke a man to fucking death on the street over there in New York City for selling fucking cigarettes ostensibly. Not a goddamn thing has happened.
Well, I mean, a thing happened. The grand jury met and decided to tell the cops that they were blameless in all of this.
Yeah, because they certainly didn't take him in. They certainly didn't have him in cuffs. Daniel Holtzclaw, Hopper. And I know people don't like that word, but see, I'm like Larry Wiltmore, okay? He used nigga in context. And that's what bothered everybody, because he peeled the fucking soft white underbelly of the goddamn racist United States. You can say nigga and make money on Empire, though, on Fox fucking News. You know, Lee Daniels can make money doing that. Then it's okay to say nigga. When you're Snoop Dogg and you're saying nigga and is selling millions of records, that's okay. That's okay. But let me point out, hey, my nigga, this is a black thing. It didn't involve you, white America. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So you get the white people jump up and down and you get the Uncle Toms to jump up and down.
Well, okay. First of all, the woman who asked the question at the press gaggle was a woman of color. And I guess she was trying to hold up the, you know, the status quo. We figured out it was all concern trolling by that last question that she asked. I just want to be clear, he has given the right wing, the Republicans, the ability to use that word now. Larry Wilmore personally did that. I mean, it's like he said, you know, what a load.
Yeah, that's bullshit. That's bullshit.
Because they've already been using that word.
Hell yeah. Come on, they got t-shirts out there with Obama, but, you know, fucking as a... You know, stereotypical witch doctor. It was basically an Indonesian root worker. But, you know, in the white man's mind, the white colonialist man's mind, this is a witch doctor, right? You have monkeys being, you know, on T-shirts with Obama all over it. You know, his wife has been equated to an ape, not just in the United States, but also in Spain. His children have been compared to chimpanzees. His entire fucking race has been insulted. And all he can ever say is, well, people have a right to an opinion. But if you say something about Israel, well, goddamn, that means you hate every fucking Jew in the world, right? And of course, the neo-Nazis take advantage of this. Because, you know, they act like they give a fuck about Palestinians when they don't. And they use this bullshit as cover. And the Zionists know that they use this as cover. You know, this is so goddamn confusing because Zionists have used this issue politically. And the Nazis have used this shit politically. You know, and then, you know, the average person, unless they have a real fucking, you know, educated understanding of the history of all of this, you come across as being somebody who really has a problem with Jews when that's not the case. So it just stops all fucking discussion, you know, altogether. It's just like in the 1970s when Henry Kissinger, you know, that golden boy of fucking of diplomacy. And I've read his books. That's why I can talk shit about Kissinger. I read his books. Not what's written about him. I read his books. And they're worth goddamn reading if you want to understand what's going on. But he came up with the fucking idea that Israel has a God-given right to exist. He came up with that. And Golda Meir, you know, kept parroting it, and they got stuck. Because he knew if you question God, now you're being identified as atheist, you know, as an atheist and crazy. So you don't want to.
You'll never
that.
Convince me that Henry Kissinger believes in any deity that isn't absolutely, you know, bloodthirsty. Sorry, no.
He's a total realpolitik, period. You know, I mean, seriously. I mean, he said he don't give a fuck about Jews. I mean, there's quotes I can pull for you, you know, if I go through my files here, Brother Bob. You know, his thing is political fucking expediency, period. Period. You know, and he knew that, you know, the United States and the Western world, you know, in general, needs a white outpost in that part of the fucking world. That's the only reason anybody is making a fucking argument for Israel. It is a white colonialist fucking outpost that sterilizes Ethiopian fucking women, that fucking sells Palestinian organs on the black fucking market. I'm not making up a goddamn thing. You can read this in the Israeli press, where they sit in the fucking Knesset and talk about how to limit the birth rate of Palestinians. You know, this is a country that the United States is paying for. Same thing with
Saudi Arabia.
Sounds a little
final solution-y to me.
Well, you know, the idea of victims turning into victimizers. We talk about the abuse cycle amongst most people, you know, in terms of child abuse, sexual abuse. How many people, like somebody, people ask, you know, like, oh, man, you know, I heard that it's really bad for guys that attack women and shit in prison. I'm like, because so many of those men have fucking been abused their damn selves or watched their mothers be fucking abused growing up and their sisters by their fucking no good goddamn father. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, they're in the system because their fucking childhoods were fucked up. Their innocence was robbed from them. So fucking, yeah, when they find a son of a bitch like that, they cut that motherfucker up, man. Now, I'm not advocating that shit. I'm saying that's where that comes from. I'm not advocating that, but that's where that comes from. You know, and now we got a system in such a way that just about everybody in the fucking criminal system, when you speak to the psychiatrists that have to deal with them before they, you know, in the intake and shit, they find out that these people have been abused. So it's a cycle. So now you have a situation, and if you read, I mean, Elie Wiesel is going through some hell. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this, Brother Bob. It's somewhat related. You know, he wrote the book Night.
Yeah.
About his he and his father, how he listened to his father being beaten to death, and he couldn't do anything because he was afraid they would beat him to death.
Right, and it led him to an existential crisis of faith.
Yeah, you know, and he, but his criticism towards Jews is what nobody wants to talk about. Just like I know I've mentioned it to you before in conversations that we've had, you know, privately about the documentary "Who Shall Live and Who Shall Die." I used to own it, and I loaned it to someone, and I never saw it again. But it's a very hard film to get because it criticizes those Jews in the Western world who were free and had political influence and didn't do anything to help out those that were caught up by the fascists, wherever they were in Europe. You know, there's a whole lot of debate amongst, you know, the group on who's what, because, you know, the Zionists say that they represent everybody. You know, that's like me saying I represent all fucking black Indians. That's crazy. You know, I mean, I'm a voice, but, you know, I don't represent every goddamn buddy. But they claim to represent everybody. And they've turned the argument in, if you criticize the politics of this country, then you hate us as a people. Which is really unfair, because it allows them carte blanche. You know, any theocracy then could turn around and say, well, we decided to exterminate all of our homosexuals. Because, well, it's the religion. I mean, they execute homosexuals all the time in Iran on religious grounds.
Yes.
You know, but they'll point that out in Iran, but not in Saudi Arabia, where they execute people every fucking week on TV.
Because well, there's no good comes of our coddling that regime. And that is so often the case with United States foreign policy because, well, our United States foreign policy can be distilled to anything for a buck.
And, well, that's empire, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, it kind of is, but I mean, we're so not good at it. And, you know, along the way, you wind up with Honduran coups and... Hillary's global fracking initiative.
Oh man!
I mean, Jesus! You know, you got Bill Clinton standing in a schoolroom in Logan County saying, "I don't know if there's anything any president can do about what gas has done to the coal industry." But the fact of the matter is, his wife was out there trying to get every country in the world to frack their way to prosperity. Who needs clean water? So, you know, it comes back to that hashtag of, you know, which Hillary?
Mm-hmm.
The Hillary who says she's going to have so many regulations on fracking, you know, that's managed at a state level, not a national level. Okay, it just is. She can't do a damn thing about it. Much more than Bernie can, but at least you know that Bernie is hostile to it. She's not.
Mm-mm.
And so... Well, I mean, you see the conundrum, but there's not just a hell of a lot to be hopeful about.
Well, in a way, and this is where I was going to. I mean, you know, Clinton can say and do whatever the hell, but she's being pushed to the left by the simple fact that Bernie Sanders was pushed into the race. And, you know, she's not going to go all that way. She'll say whatever the fuck she needs to say. I mean, Trump is now defending transgender people. He'll say what the fuck he needs to say, you know? He was talking about Joe Paterno and all that kind of shit because he figures that would have pandered those, you know, fucking idiot Republicans in Pennsylvania. So, you know, he'll say what the fuck he needs to say. We're stuck with a mirror image of the same goddamn, you know, freak. You know, one belongs to the Democrat goddamn party, is an admitted conservative, used to work for goddamn Goldwater. Okay, yeah, she was young back then, but she's been conservative ever since by her own goddamn admission. And then you got Donald Trump, who's been quoted in People magazine, saying that, you know, if he was to run for president, he'd run as a Republican because they're fucking idiots. And, you know, he's made all kinds of comments about violence and shit and not losing a voter. And he's, you know, they're not backing down. And he still gets support. Which says something about, again, the fucking country that we're stuck in, when Bernie Sanders can come to my area and overflow everywhere he goes in the Pacific Northwest. I don't know anybody that, you know, is supporting Hillary Clinton. They're either Trump or Sanders. I don't hear anybody talking about Clinton other than to criticize her or to say that they don't trust her. But see, you know, what I'm trying to say is we're not doing what Europeans and what Asians and what South Americans and so on do. They take over their goddamn party. They would take over the fucking DNC. They say, okay, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, you're fucking fired. we're going to have a popular goddamn vote and choose somebody to fuck else, because you made sure in New York State that a bunch of us, millions of us, did not. I mean, well, I'm exaggerating that, but enough that it's embarrassing to people when I'm reading a European goddamn newspaper and they're saying, fuck, look how many people were removed from the rolls, quoting the Associated Press in the United States. It's goddamn embarrassing that we, the people, have not taken control of our goddamn politics. It's fucking embarrassing. And I blame the people who have put us to sleep. And it's not just Obama. The entire fucking DNC. And, you know, really, to be fair, you know, the RNC is the same goddamn thing. You know, the idiots have gotten to the top. I mean, even John Boehner has come out and said, look, you know, I tried to work with Ted Cruz. He's a fucking idiot. You know?
Most miserable son of a bitch I've ever known. Lucifer in the flesh.
In the flesh. And now this is somebody you and I clowned, you know, for the entire time he was up there. But the thing is, at some point, he wasn't a complete fool. He said, look, you motherfuckers better start to get in line and stop this bullshit, because we can't make any fucking progress if you're going to hang on your motherfucking little pet goddamn issue that doesn't have a fucking thing to do with anything. You know, we got other fucking counties and shit to deal with. Oh, well, Boehner doesn't like to work with the fucking, or Boehner, whatever the fuck you want to call him, you know, doesn't like to work with the rest of the Republican Party. He's a radical. So they get Paul fucking Ryan, you know. So, you know, like that's supposed to mean.
Yeah, and that's not working out either.
Nope. No, because at some goddamn point, you know, even fucking, was it Jon Snow, the White House guy? You can't bullshit after a while. You just got to tell the fucking truth, you know. At some point, you got to be like, okay, look, you know, we got to work. We can't keep shutting down the goddamn government, you know, trying to embarrass the president, because that's all it was. People are losing goddamn money because we're fucking around, you know. Oh, well, you're a punk. You know, let's get rid of him. You know, I mean, come on. You know how they turn on people here in this punitive goddamn country? Remember John Murtha?
Yeah.
A motherfucking vet lost his goddamn arm in service to this motherfucking country, wounded badly 3 goddamn times. If I remember correctly, a motherfucking Marine. And all he ever said was common sense. We need to fucking regroup, bring our fucking people back here, have a better plan the next motherfucking time, and go back and kick ass. And they waited, what, 3 goddamn hours to start calling him a coward? To start questioning his motherfucking service and his fucking courage?
Oh, yeah.
Cut and run. We're going to cut and run. And then that was the next one. Cut and run. Cut and run. Then it was Main Street. Main Street. Main Street. Main Street. We got to think about Main Street. What about the people on Main Street? And then now, who gives a fuck about Main Street? The rich people got their motherfucking money, and they went back to Jamaica or fucking Bahamas or wherever the fuck it is that they have their summer homes and shit. And, you know, a whole bunch of people went out on the fucking street. And then a new industry came around of people making money dispossessing motherfuckers and throwing their furniture on the goddamn road. That's capitalism for you, right?
Yeah, and by the way, you probably are aware, I don't know if everybody else is or not, do you realize that Trump and Hillary and Bill share a mailing address?
Yep.
at a little nondescript building in Wilmington, Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
It's the that little post office box is the corporate home of the Shell Corporation, where the Clintons pass their speaking fees through.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And nobody is saying a fucking thing other than it happened.
Yeah, what do you want? I mean, you know, they're rich. They're doing what rich people do. I mean,
rich people do. See,
rich things happen.
You just hit exactly on it, Brother Bob. We have accepted this. We have accepted this. Well, they're rich. That's what they do. They're entitled to do
this. But we all want to be rich. And someday, when we are, we'll want to be able to set up a shell corporation that's a post office box in the same building with Bill and Hillary and Trump.
Yeah, exactly.
They got more boxes there. Delaware's one great big mailboxes are us state.
I call that the white man's pipe dream, because, you know, one day I'll be rich.
Who said that America's poor are all see themselves as all being temporarily embarrassed millionaires?
Well, see, black people never used to think like that. It used to be, well, we're stuck like this. You know what I'm saying? We'll never make any money. Natives and shit, the same thing. They say, well, it'd be nice if I had a piece of fucking land. But, you know, I'll never be rich. I'm not even thinking like that. But just all of when I was young, my white friends, they were all like, yeah, man, one day. One day. I'm going to go into the military.
Well, because that's the promise of America. If you're white enough and you work hard enough and you got a little, you get a break here and there, then, you know, you'll be rich like Jim Justice someday too. You missed the Jim Justice part. You know, the guy running for governor of West Virginia.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to do this. This may be annoying to, I don't think it'll be actually annoying.
Run the audio.
I'm going to run the audio again. Angry. Just for you. Okay? Because, you know, this is the same guy that I told you about. This is the guy who tells his Kunta Kinte story at every opportunity. Yeah, God looked at me and God said, Jim Justice, there's a reason I made you Jim Justice and not Kunta Kinte.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason I made you the son of a millionaire, coal baron, white guy instead of a poor black slave. Because you have my favor, Jim Justice. That's why your skin is so white.
Lord acts in mysterious ways. Man.
Yeah. So wait a minute. I can't do this on this computer because then you won't hear it. Give me a sec here. I'll get this yet. Because you're going to scream, Angry. You're going to scream. Not that I derive some sort of pleasure out of making Angry scream. But, I mean, this is such a textbook case because, as I observed earlier, if this was... If this was any Republican politician running in the South, the for-profit media would be on it nonstop, 24 hours a day, 7 days a freaking week. Okay, but this guy's just the presumptive Democratic nominee in West Virginia, so I guess he gets a pass, and that is. To say the least, deeply troubling. And so, he was doing this campaign appearance. He was doing his campaign appearance, and it was in a room full of, you know, mostly people of color. And they put this question to him, asking him, and it was a bullshit question. Okay, many African Americans feel ignored by the Democratic Party and open hostility from the Republican Party. Why should anyone vote for you, Jim Justice? This is driving me crazy because the damn thing won't load. Maybe here in a minute, because I wanted you to hear it in his own sort of high pitched, whiny little voice. But I guess we're not. Here, let me. I got the text too, so I'll just share it with you. Because this is just not going to load. Damn it. But it works on the other machine. In response to that question, you know, why should a person of color vote for you? Now, this is his answer. I from the Department of, I am not making this up. He said,
the best workforce that I have.
You can't hear that, can you?
Mm-mm.
Okay. You know, the best workforce that I have, I have 102 different companies. The very number one documented over and over and over and over workforce that I have is probably a 85% African American workforce. Okay, are you sitting down angry?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just checking. There are farming people. They're our very best that we have. They love me with all my soul. They don't go out and pick cucumbers. They drive the most high-tech farming equipment in the land. They plant more corn acres than anybody in America.
Okay.
Isn't that beautiful?
I mean, I'm surprised he used African American, you know.
Well, yeah.
You would think he would have said colored, but...
Well, I mean, I like the possessive pronouns.
Give him credit.
They're our farming people. They belong to him.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well,
and they love me with all my soul. Not all their souls. They love me with all my soul.
Hey, man, it's still like that. You know, you got spots in Louisiana. And this is, again, don't believe me. Documentary called Lately's Kin. You can't remember who made it. But they basically were still people living, you know, black folks living in slavery in this little tiny parish. And I guess there was a couple of others up until like mid to late 70s. Because what happened was the generational, you know, attitude of servitude to these white folks was inbred in one generation after the next. So nobody really understood the concept of freedom. They were working for free. They did not know that they were free. At the time of that documentary, when they were filming down there, they still didn't have television. Most people. No television, no computers, nothing like that. And what the film was initially about, was focusing on, was this grandmother, Laylee, trying to get her grandchildren into some sort of education. No one in her entire fucking family line, as long as she's been in America, from Africa, has gone to school. And this documentary was made in the, you know, 2000s. And it was the struggle of this black woman who was totally uneducated herself, who felt that if she couldn't at least get her grandchildren in the school, that there would be no hope. Because she's like, you know, we didn't really know what the situation was down here. And somebody that they brought from the outside, a black man they brought from the outside, but who understood the South, said, yeah, man, you know, basically they were enslaving these people. There are areas down here in the South that no one told them that they were free. They simply got up and did their chores, and they didn't know. And because they kept them from having TVs, there's no power out there, they're still using outhouses and what have you, they were so cut off from the outside world, they did not know. And nothing was ever done about this. They got labor out of these people up to the day. None of them have gone to school, and that is the struggle, because we have no money. But the state is telling us that, you know, we should be, you know, enrolling these children. But he's like, there's so many of them slip through the cracks. They just find some kind of a job driving a truck. No license. No driver's licenses. So this local, the local white community basically kept the system as is until they were forced to stop it in the mid to late 70s. And at the time of that filming, not one of them had been educated.
Jesus.
That's America. And when I first heard about Clinton, you know, there was somebody, and this was in the New York Times, who went down to Geechee areas, down in South Carolina, around the Sea Islands. I did not know that there were still Geechees that were sharecropping, living without running water, without electricity. I did not know this. I knew things were bad, but I really did not know that so many of my own people were still living like that. And Clinton promised them blue sky. So I checked up with some folks, you know, several years ago. It turns out they're still living like that.
Well,
and there's some white communities, too, in Florida like that as well. It's not just black folks, but it's bad. And natives, I don't even want to get into it.
Well, yeah. And that was one thing. Bill made a statement, you know, as they were working around West Virginia about how I just want to be, I want to go wherever I can help, talk to these poor miners, and send me to Appalachia. Send me out to the Indian reservations where they ain't got nothing because they don't have gambling. He said that.
Yeah, and, you know, nothing. But Ken Livingstone, to point out a historical fact, well, goddamn, you Jew-hating son of a bitch, when that's not the case at all. You know, it's not the case at all. You know, Trump says whatever the fuck he wants. Bernie Sanders, I mean, you know, if he makes a mistake and slips on a banana peel and breaks wind and they catch it on a microphone, you know, they'll talk about that, but they won't talk about the fact that he's overfilling goddamn stadiums.
The latest I've seen, I saw a Hilarion post something the other day saying, well, you know, those are just the same college kids. They're just driving them in a bus all over the country.
Yeah, they got nothing good to say about that man at all. And, you know, I've been getting arguments with black people too, you know, because they're just like, you know, oh, well, Hillary's the only one who stood up for us. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? I said, how many of us are fucking dealing with bullshit psychologically?
Stood up for you when?
Fucking her. That's my question. And then all they can tell me is, I'm a hater. And, you know, I lost about 20 goddamn followers, Hillary people. About 20 some fucking followers, man. Hillary people. Because I'm like, you know, you might as well just get the fuck off my timeline. If you're going to tell me that, you know, Trump can get away with the fuck he's saying, but, you know, you're not going to hold Hillary Clinton to what she's saying. You know, Trump is just a fucking bigot.
I don't know if you were around Wednesday, or Friday, rather, when we had the story of her talking about how she knows how to deal with men who get off the reservation.
Yeah, natives are still fighting about that too, because, you know, people are still, you know, like me, who remember when her and Bill promised the Pine Ridge Reservation community that they were going to release and pardon Leonard Peltier. But he didn't pardon Leonard Peltier. The FBI took out a full page ad and, you know, made their fucking arguments and brought out the widows and gave their version of the story. You know, basically, you know, they didn't tell anybody that they actually was losing their case in court, and they had to fucking, you know, run a different trial because Dino Butler and Bob Robidoux's passed on. I'm not sure about Dino Butler. I should know this, but I don't. They were his co-defendants in that case. They were released. The charges against them, they were exonerated on the basis of, on the jury trial of self-defense. They're not talking about that, right? So anyway, you know, they made promises to Indian country. He made a big, a few months before he left office. He was in there for two terms, but, you know, a little bit before he left office, he went to Pine Ridge and he talked all this crap all over. But then, you know, he ended up pardoning Mark Rich, and who was a personal friend of his, and a bunch of other embezzlers. You know, but my thing to the black community is, you know, that whole super predators thing was bad enough because I remember the cops getting rougher after that. I remember that. Anybody, you know, who was fucking around then remembers that. And see, a lot of these young black supporters of Hillary Clinton don't know that. They don't remember that period. You know, and when, you know, you look at mass incarceration, I mean, I'm not talking out of my keister. Fucking Bill Clinton is going around saying, yeah, I'm the one that did this. You know, I made a mistake. I didn't think the mass incarceration was going to be what it was. Because that's the exact same time that the fucking AIDS rates went up in our goddamn community. AIDS and herpes. Because, you know, what goes on in the fucking prison system? Hepatitis, HIV, right? Mm-hmm. Herpes. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, tuberculosis and all these things that they bring back into the community. You got two families living in a motherfucking, you know, one bedroom and shit, and somebody's got tuberculosis. How long before everybody else gets sick?
Not very.
Right? Scabies, all kinds of shit. Prisoners bring that bullshit out with them. You know, and motherfucking, this is what the Clintons were responsible for. But nobody will call them on that. Instead, they have a motherfucking in-depth, super, you know, intellectual, the fucking discussions about Beyonce's fucking Lemonade goddamn video.
Oh, dear God.
Instead of trying to ask yourself why you're so fucked up, you know what I'm saying? You
no,
know,
I, just like, I saw some of that the other day, and I just looked, I read it, and I went, oh, well, I'm a geezer. I don't get it. Okay.
No, I mean, I get it. But, you know, at this time, okay, talk about it. But don't say that this is feminism. I don't want to hear that shit. Because I'm still pissed with the fact that people want to argue with me about her. And I'm like, man, her and her fucking husband, you know, so what now that, you know, the past few years she's been deciding to, you know, give some money quietly, this, that, and the other. Well, frankly, that's what the fuck she's supposed to be doing. But at the same goddamn time, her husband, who still believes that his presence is charity. You dig what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, they got, you know, he sits with these white folks. You know, he's on the Bloomberg magazine shit. He's smoking fucking cigars. He's got diamonds all over the fucking place. All right, that's good, man. You know, telling me that, you know, watching you be successful will inspire me to be successful is a whole lot of class-ass bullshit, see? Because, you know, here it is, Beyonce, who could have been political at any goddamn time, decides now that she's being pushed, like Hillary Clinton by Bernie Sanders, being pushed by the Black Lives Matters movement, the motherfucking, you know, be relevant. So this the same way when her and her husband put out those, remember when the Occupy movement was going on?
Yeah.
Remember when JC put out his Occupy All Streets t-shirts at the same time that Occupy was going on?
Mm-hmm.
He tried to capitalize on that. You dig what I'm saying? So here comes
capitalism. That's what capitalism capitalizes,
that's
right?
That's what capitalism does, right? So he's rocking like a true capitalist motherfucking modernist, man. And here comes his wife, who in this previous video, they got the police all goddamn angry. And I don't know what the fuck for. You know, when they do this dance routine like they're the Black Panthers and shit, the Black Panthers didn't support women, black women who straightened their hair, let alone bleached it. The Black Panthers were not about the sexualization of the black woman. Not once women became prominent in the Black Panther Party for self-defense. They put a chop to that. They said, we're out here fighting with you and taking the same motherfucking risk. What the fuck you mean? I'm supposed to cook. Fuck you. You know, we in this shit together. And it's like, you know, when you put me up there and make me look like a goddamn mannequin for your motherfucking, you know, get off. It's like, fuck you. We're in this shit together. I'm a human being. Respect me. So, you know, what Beyonce does, and that whole fucking video is anathema to everything that the Black Panther Party for self-defense was fucking about. So now she comes
out with
lemonade.
But that's not the criticism. The criticism is that Beyonce, you know, Beyonce is going to reinvigorate the new Black Panther Party, and they're going to come and take your white women and your guns.
Yeah, but how can Beyonce reinvigorate the new Black Panther Party for self-defense when Beyonce and her husband Jay-Z went to Cuba, and then that's when they raised the fucking bounty on Assad Shakur?
Ta-da.
Right? You know, Brother Daruba Bin Wahad put it out there, and I'm going to quote him. Beyonce is the Mata Hari of our time.
Whoa.
All right? In terms of the black community. Between her, Oprah Winfrey, who's always been doing this since she made her first couple of motherfucking million and got on TV in Ohio, and fucking Obama, have put the black community to sleep. We see Condoleezza Rice up there, went to sleep. The fact that she was buying shoes while black people were drowning doing Katrina, we just went to sleep. But see, the Jewish community, they're jumping on anybody that's a member of their group, which includes me to a minor, you know, degree. You know, it's like, you better stand with us or motherfucking else. The Mexican community, the same thing. What the fuck do you mean you're not going to support this immigrants' goddamn movement? What, you with them? We don't do that. Oh, well, we have a right to an opinion. And then we wonder why we don't have any goddamn thing. You know, and how is this related to everything else? Well, because, you know, Wilmore goes up there and says, hey, you know, this is a black thing, and I might as well take the chance to fucking point this out, that you want this nigga out of here, don't you? You want him out of here, don't you? And yeah, it might have been a sister that jumped up, you know, with that question and whatever at the press conference. But, you know, we're talking about the crack White House press corps that still can't ask the president of the United States, does Israel have a nuclear arsenal that's paid for by American money, when we got bridges falling apart and potholes all over the goddamn place and people starving in the fucking streets?
There you go.
I mean, that's a simple fucking question, man.
Well, you would think. And hey, because I get one of these just about every time we have a conversation, Angry. Somebody wanting to know how they can go and find and listen to you. AboriginalRadio.wordpress.com, correct?
That's right.
All right. That's where folks can subscribe to the podcast. How often do you put them up? When do you?
About once a week when I get my producer in here.
otherwise known as the boss.
Oh, no, no, no. Not my wife. Oh. That's the boss.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about my co-producer.
Okay.
Guadalupe Morales. You know, she's the one that puts everything together. Yeah, you know, thanks for the interest. But, yeah, you know, really, I also, we talk about this on my show whenever I can. You know, please support this show because you're not really going to get too much talk, man. You know, on the real. You're not going to get too much talk like this. I mean, you do have Mike Malloy out there. You got a couple other shows. But, you know, the fact that we're on internet radio, I mean, you know for a goddamn fact that if Bob Kincaid is put into any motherfucking market anywhere in the fucking 50 states, he's going to dominate. They will not listen to Limbaugh after listening to him. They will not bother with the usual crapola coming out of fucking Fox. They would be listening to Bob Kincaid. And it would spin off real fucking radio. So, you know, I mean, none of us like to have to ask for money. And we definitely on my program.
God, I despise it. Not. I despise it. I buy my little lottery.
Hey, I know you don't. Because I can hear it in your voice.
I buy my little lottery ticket thinking, my God, would that be cool just to come on the air and go, ain't nobody got to give any more money. It's took care of.
But see, but this is what I'm talking about, though, Brother Bob. In Europe, in South America, I mean, right next door in Mexico, up in Canada, the political fucking system would have its own radio program. It would have its own newspaper. It would have its means of communication. It would have its radio programs in different markets. Here, nothing. We just allow Fox to do it. You know, I don't care what radio, FM, AM. It's conservative radio. It's conservative. It's all conservative. Sports and conservative talk. That's it.
And anybody who listens to much in the way of like sports radio, and that is deeply right wing for the most part. You know, people like Colin Coward and whatever. Is that his name? They're all over the place, and they're all of them right wingers.
Yeah,
I mean, well, I don't think anybody ever accused Jim Rome of being a knee jerk liberal.
No, nah, but you got what, Neil Bortz out there, that nutty.
Yeah.
It's Dennis Prager, and well, I don't know. I give that one in Wisconsin who tore. Trump, a new one, cut him down to size. You know, it's like, you know, you can't.
Yeah, but that's because he was a Cruz guy.
Yeah.
You know, there are no sane right wing talkers out there. You know, you got Mark Levin out there wants to rewrite the Constitution, and he's got some silly people on our side who go, yeah, let's do that.
They think they're going to get something out of it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. We're gonna pass a balanced budget amendment, and we're gonna get rid of Citizens United.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, the Republicans are like, "Yeah, come on in the convention. Yeah, come on in. Come on. Yeah, gonna have a convention of the states. Come on over here." And
well, come on,
yeah,
you've no, heard no, one no. of the Koch brothers is backing Hillary now, right?
Yeah.
I tried to tell people, man, nobody wants to listen to me. Rupert Murdoch gave her $10 million the last time she ran, and then when he realized that she wasn't going to make it, he switched his money over to McCain. You know, they're going to do what they're going to do to preserve their privileges.
Well, and they're going to do what they're going to do to preserve the oligarchy.
Yeah,
the oligarchy, you know, the patriarchy, the plutocracy. Because you know the rest of
the
us
empire,
can
shit.
Yeah, the empire, because the rest of us can go F ourselves, right? And so, you know, I just do. I see it this way. It's my opinion. It hasn't been paid for. It hasn't been bought. Nobody's given me anything to say this. I simply believe based, and that's a dangerous damn word, I think based upon my observation of things as they are that, Trump is a roller coaster ride being operated by the devil and the empire just goes to hell in a hurry. Hillary Clinton is a capable bureaucratic administrator. And so she will keep the empire trundling along on four warped wheels for as long as it can go. But in neither instance do the American people get what the American people desperately need.
Nope. You can't. Look, you and I talk about Rome here quite a bit. You know, and it probably annoys people. But if you understand how the Roman Empire went up and down and through all of those twists and turns, and you start to learn that they had their own projects that used to burn and typhus was rampant, and, you know, how the equestrian class ran everything, and how they used the games to, you know, take the attention off and deal with their unwanted populations. They were an empire. You know, they had stretched themselves to the brink. They were in Palestine. You know, they were in Africa. You know, they were everywhere that they could be. They went all the way down to Britain. Empires don't last but for so long. They said it themselves that, you know, nothing lasts forever, not even Rome. And what happened? Their barbarian class turned on them because they couldn't pay him. You know, I mean, the war with Carthage, how much did that cost? Trying to keep the Middle East, how much did that cost? What happened after Septimus Severus, who I've in print related President Obama to? You know, because he was the first African who was a Roman emperor. And, you know, he went out of his way to destroy the Middle East and any sort of Arab and North African and Berber descent. He just wasn't happening. And then after he passed away, his sons were killing each other, trying to, you know, figure things out. We've seen this. French Empire, German Empire, we've seen this. They start spending so much to keep the empire going in the outer lands. They have to rob home. Come on, what's the basis of Lysistrata?
There we go.
The women are like, you know, the houses are falling apart, the roads have gone to hell, you're not taking care of anything, and you expect us to do everything, and then fuck you when you come back from battle. So no more sex until you motherfuckers stop this shit, because nothing else seems to fucking work for you. You know? That should be goddamn required fucking reading.
Well, I remember when the play was put up after George Bush started his war against the people of Iraq with the connivance of several people who call themselves Democrats, and that's what it was. It was connivance. There was if Robert Byrd is looking at that and going no, and if you know, there were lots of people who voted against that resolution. If you were, I mean, you're either conniving or you're gullible. You know, if you put on your little Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm dress and your rose-colored glasses, and you look at George, and you look at Dick and Dub, and go, well, I'm sure they have only the purest of intentions. I'll vote yes on their war resolution. Then you're a fool.
Yeah.
If on the other hand you look and go, ah, well, you know, war's always good for business. If it turns out wrong, I'll tell them it was a mistake. That ought to work. That's the ticket.
Well, you know, they don't have to go, and their children don't go. Did the Bush trend sign up?
Nope. And there ain't no little Clinton grandkid is ever going to wear the uniform of the United States military.
I mean, that's what bugs me the most about it. I mean, you know.
And I'm not a hawk. I mean, I'm not a hawk. You understand?
Yeah, of course.
I don't think everybody needs to be in the military.
No.
But I think we ought to be a damn sight smarter about how we use it.
Well, you
and meanwhile,
think that
of course,
gave...
the F-35, Hoosus Raptor or whatever is out there. And, you know, we could feed just about every human being on the planet for what we're spending on that,
mm-hmm.
that no one wants and no one needs. And meanwhile, one last little thing that I caught, and maybe you've caught it too, I didn't realize that the Australians, the right-wing Australian government under Malcolm Turnbull, I didn't realize that he was that they were running concentration camps.
Yeah. Yeah.
For Syrian refugees.
Well,
one man recently set himself on fire in protest there.
Yeah.
And the this concentration and this is the Gitmo disease writ large, because these Australian concentration camps are actually not on Australian soil. They've got an agreement with Papua New Guinea
mm-hmm.
and another little nation. And so they're
constantly.
Yeah. What is it? Na something. I can't remember the name of the island.
I can't pronounce it.
Nauroa or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
And so they're putting people in there. They got 450 people in one camp, and the stated Australian policy is that we're not going to let them set foot on Australian soil. So dig this. This was the craziest part of it. New Zealand's government reaches out to Australia's government and says, "Hey, you know, we'll take 150 of them off your hands." And Australia said, "No. We want to keep them in the concentration camp." And, you know, we can call them refugee camps all we want to, but when everybody is of one class, one religion, one demographic, one ethnicity, it begins to smell an awful lot like a concentration camp. If there are guns outside the concentration camp, if there are dogs outside the camp, it's a concentration camp, okay?
But they also have Papua New Guineans there. They have Indonesians there, Melanesians there, people who are running from political violence and human trafficking all along the Australasia chain and the South Pacific. It's not just these Syrians, but that's what's being focused on now, mostly because this poor fellow immolated himself. But they've been doing this for quite a while, and no one's really been noticing. Now, I wasn't aware that New Zealand had stepped in, and I'm really not surprised that they did, because they tend to be very they have a very strict immigration policy, but they try to take in some. You know, they do in their bit for such a small country. But what is the political reason for not letting some of these people go, but you're not going to let them step on Australian soil? So what, you're just going to keep them indefinitely?
There we go.
So, I mean, this is as Stalinistic as you can goddamn get.
Well, no, I mean, this is the Gitmo disease spreading.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sure. Sure. Sure.
Nauru. Sure. Nauru is the name of the island, and she was Somalian, not Syrian. 21-year-old woman named Hadan. She survived. She was forcibly removed from Australia and was returned to Nauru last week. And, let's see. 550 people, including 70 children, live in Nauru's detention center. The Nauruan government... Hello, Mr. Orwell, claims that refugees and asylum seekers in the detention centers enjoy the same freedoms as local Nauruan citizens and actually have better facilities in some cases.
Wow.
We are distressed that refugees are attempting such dreadful acts in order to attempt to influence the Australian government's immigration policies. These actions are purely and simply being taken because they believe that political protests will influence the Australian government and possibly help them gain entry to Australia.
Well, I don't have to tell you how they treat the people out there, do I?
No. 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 And unfortunately, we're pretty much out of time.
Yeah.
But it's been a great conversation, Angry. I really appreciate it. I enjoyed it.
Always, brother. Always,
and
man.
Again, and like- so folks know, aboriginalradio.wordpress.com.
That's it. And please, you know, support this show as much as you can. You know, just tell people. I hope I'm getting you some more listeners in Australia. There's some that listen to my show. They've been checking you out.
Oh, cool. That's good. That's good. We always welcome more members to the family from anywhere on the planet, frankly. And, yeah, it's been kind of a tough night, Angry. You know, we try to raise $200 every evening. We started at zero at 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. It's 5 minutes till 9 Eastern Daylight Time now, and we are still at zero.
Well, the week is early, so, you know, please, folks, you know, let people know that this man is on the air and do what you can. All right, Brother Bob. Peace.
All right. Have a good evening, Angry. Bye now. Our buddy, the Angry Indian. Nobody like him. So it's time to roll out of here on this Moran Monday. We have had a wealth of them. I have some audio here. Apparently, the protesters are already out for Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton down in down in Mingo County. And once again, it's not like it's people who are, you know, calling for a more robust response to climate change. No, it's a bunch of idiot hillbillies carrying their goddamn Trump signs. Of course it is.
I'm 13 News reporter Hillary Hall. I'm here in Williamson, West Virginia right now, where Hillary Clinton is preparing to speak at the Williamson Health and Wellness Center. If you guys take a look here, let me flip the camera around. Major protests are happening right now. I'll take a break so you guys can kind of hear what people here have to say. The streets are blocked off.
They're all carrying their Trump signs.
As you guys can see here, we have a lot of Trump supporters and also a lot, a very heavy police presence. Hillary Clinton has not arrived here on scene yet, but Senator Joe Manchin just arrived about 5 minutes ago. As you guys can see, the streets are very, very crowded here. You might be able to hear as well, a lot of the protesters here are shouting coal in support of the coal mining job here in southern West Virginia.
Yeah, they're shouting, coal, coal, coal. They are invoking their God. Mm-hmm. Coal, coal, coal. As if, you know, as if shouting it will make the little Keebler coal elves grow, make some more coal underground. Idiots. Note coming in from Robert in Australia, our concentration camps. John Howard's Pacific Solution. I nearly threw up when I heard that, and it still sickens me. And to answer the angry Indian, yes, we're keeping them there indefinitely. It's costing a fortune, but it's okay as long as those nasty foreign queue-jumping foreigners don't get into Australia. We're the size of the U.S. with the population of New York City. There is some good news. The PNG High Court has declared the whole setup illegal. The private corporation that runs them is thinking of giving up as a result, as it's all going to cost too much money. How nice. Private corporation. It is. It's our disease, and it's spreading. Devin says that clip from Williamson makes me think of the Temple of Doom. Yeah. Hopefully no one's heart comes popping out of their chest. Time to get out of here. Thanks, everybody. We'll start the program tomorrow with a $400 fundraising goal. Hopefully that will be, the bite will be taken out of it overnight. Yeah. Thanks very kindly. Have a wonderful evening. Back tomorrow with Titanic Tuesday. And always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.